All right. There's one thing standing between between you and your lunch, and that's me. So for the next 3 hours or so, I'm going to be talking about life tiles and toasts. Just joking, by the way. So what are we going to talk about? Well, tiles were a new concept in Windows 8 and Windows Phone. They basically allowed us to go around the one app limitation. If you've been doing some Windows 8 development, you probably know that Windows was limited to running just the app which was in the foreground, and all the other apps got suspended. And somehow we as developers needed to go around that app limitation, because sometimes an app may have had an interesting thing to say, like there's an incoming phone call or there's a weather update. And there were a couple of ways of saying that to the user. And probably the most interesting way of doing that was using tiles and also toasts. And I'm going to be talking about how that thing has been adapted to the Windows 10 environment. For the people who don't know what a tile is, well, a tile is that little thing that in Windows 8 you had on your start screen, the shortcut 2.0, let's say, but it had some interactive things that you could add to it, where the user could see updates when the app wasn't running. And the toast, well, they are those little annoying things that popped up in Windows 8 at the top, and in Windows 10 they're popping up on the bottom right of your screen. And so we're going to see what is new in that area in Windows 10. For the people who don't know me, my name is Gilles Kleren. I'm an MVP for Microsoft here in Belgium. I'm working as a consultant and software architect at Ordina. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me via Twitter. My Twitter handle is here on the screen, and that's at Gilles Kleren. All right. So what are we going to be talking about? Well, first I'm going to give you an overview of how tiles work. For the people who've not been developing Windows 8 apps, this is going to be interesting to see how the situation was in Windows 8 and how it can still be used in Windows 10. After that, I'm going to talk a bit about, well, the tile basics and the tile templates more or less overlap. The tile templates were the Windows 8 approach, and actually they still work, but I'm going to be talking about that in just a second. And the new thing is that third bullet there on the slide, and that's adaptive templates. They allow us to, well, they are the way that tiles work, and more work in a more adaptive way in Windows 10. After that, I'll be making the switch to toasts. But toasts have also been updated, and the new thing in that area is the interactive toasts. And we'll see what that is, and probably you can guess that this has something to do with the way that a user can now interact with a toast, which is, by the way, not possible with a tile. So let's get started by taking a look at how tiles worked and still work in Windows 10. So when looking at a tile, a tile is basically composed out of a number of layers, so to say. You don't really see that, but behind the scenes, a tile is built up out of a few components which are layered on top of each other. At the very bottom of your tile, you have that little rectangle here, that's the actual tile, which has a background color. On top of that, you put your application icon, and on top of that, you put your application short name. And in the end, you end up with something like this. And if you look today at your start screen, you'll definitely see a couple of those tiles being shown there. If you think back of the time that we were running Windows 8, many applications had a full screen tile. That is also possible. You can make that application logo screen filling, or tile filling, I should say. So filling the entire tile was also possible. This is a very basic tile that still works in Windows 8. This is a static tile. There's no interactivity, let's say, going on with this tile. It doesn't do anything live. So that's a basic state of a tile. Now we can make things a bit more interesting. We can add, for example, this thing here that's called the badge. And that's a little number or a little glyph icon that you can add to your tile. It makes things a bit more interactive. For example, on a Twitter tile, you can say, well, you have 4 new mentions on Twitter, or you have 4 new emails in your inbox. That's what this little badge was added for. And also you can see it's added as an extra layer on top of your tile. That's a semi-live state. It's a bit more interactive, but it's still limited. Now, things get more interesting when we move to the live state for a tile. And the live state, like the word says it, well, that's basically the completely interactive, the live way of showing updates for your slide. Now, automatically, when an application is installed, this will be used. And then the application somehow can make text or images appear on top of that slide. And if you look at the layers that is that are composing the tile here, you'll notice that there's now content. And that content basically adds the aliveness, the interactivity of the tile. Now this is a screenshot of Visual Studio 2013, so the previous version of Visual Studio. And this is actually a Windows 8 application where we were adding tiles. And inside of the application manifest, you probably have seen that file. It's exactly the same as in Windows 10 development. You could add these images inside of your application manifest. And those images are, in fact, your application logos, your application icons that are going to be shown as your tile for your application in the start menu in Windows 8, sorry, the start screen in Windows 8 or the start menu in Windows 10. Notice also, Microsoft recommends that you add several scale factors of your images because, of course, those images will have to scale along with the device. The more pixels you have, the larger the image needs to be. This is a screen filler one, so in that case, you probably won't see the accent color, the background color of the tile, but you can make it a transparent image, which a lot of applications do nowadays as well. So how do we now update the tile? How can we make things a bit more interactive? I've shown you that you could show text on that tile, and you could do that in Windows 8, and you can still do that in Windows 10. And in fact, there are a couple of ways of updating what is shown in the tile. I've already clicked a few times because it's more interesting to see them all together. The most basic type of update to your tile is a local tile update. In the case of a local tile update, well, the application will update the tile. So that means that the application, while it's running, will update the content of the tile. For example, if you're a music player application, you can, for example, every time the user switches songs, update which song is playing on the tile. That's typical what you can do with a local update. You can also use a background service. Windows application development allows us to build services in applications, things that run in the background task basically, and you could also update the tile from there. The other one that's interesting is a scheduled tile update. The scheduled tile update is, for example, useful for a birthday application. So when the application runs initially, you add all the birthdays, and then you will schedule tile notifications for everyone's birthday. And so whenever a scheduled tile notification is, in fact, scheduled, it will make sure that at a particular time, the tile will be updated. That's what you can use a scheduled tile notification for. And then, yeah, of course, they are still driven by the local application. It is, in fact, also possible to interact with a service, with the cloud. You could use a periodic tile update. And a periodic tile update is basically a polling every now and then to a service which will give you back some updated information. For example, the weather tile uses that type of update. It updates every 30 minutes. It goes to a service, asks for a weather update, and shows that weather update in the tile. And then you also have the most interactive way, the out-of-band updates for tiles, and that's push notifications. In push notifications, basically, the server will initiate a tile update and will push that to all devices which have the tile pinned to the start screen. Now, how do we show such a little tile update? Now let's start by looking at a bit of code for a batch update. The batch update that you see here will actually update that little number in the bottom right of the tile. And this is actually Windows 8 code, and this still works in Windows 10, so you can directly copy that code from your Windows 8 app to your Windows 10 app. So what I'm going to start with is I'm going to ask the batch template type to batch number, and I'm going to talk a bit about those templates in just a second. But for now, let me share with you that tile updates, as well as toast updates, as well as batch updates, are in fact totally XML driven. Microsoft has defined a number of templates in XML that you as a developer send somehow through one of the types of updates that I've shown you before to your start screen or to your start menu. And that will result in a tile update. In this case, I'm asking for a batch type update, and that will definitely update that small number on the bottom right of your tile. I'm going to say I want to update my batch. I'm going to read that XML, and then I'm going to search inside of that XML for a particular part of the string, of the XML string. I'm going to update it, and then I'm going to write some code to make sure that that tile update is pushed to my tile batch updater, batch update manager dot create a batch updater for application, and I'm going to pass in my batch notification. Don't worry about all that code. It's actually also on MSDN. What you can also do, and you could also do that in Windows 8 again, is creating secondary tiles. Now, by default, an application has one tile, and that will be installed when the application is installed. It is, however, possible to create more than one tile from within your application. For example, if you're creating a weather application, you could say, well, I am going to allow the user to pin several cities to the start screen or the start menu. And those secondary secondly pinned tiles are secondary tiles. In Windows 8, they were quite restricted. All those restrictions more or less have been removed in Windows 10. For example, when you pin the secondary tile in a Windows 8 app, you were always brought to the start screen to see that tile being pinned there. You were actually removed from the context of the application to go to your start screen, and then you had to go back to the application yourself. In Windows 10, they've removed that. It's possible for an application to create as many secondary tiles as wanted. And I'll show that in a demo in just a second. The code has also been simplified a little bit, so there's a bit of a change in the API to create secondary tiles. So if you've been doing Windows 8 development, you'll see that there's a couple of differences here. So first I'm going to check if a secondary tile for this application was already created based on an ID. You can create as many secondary tiles as you want, but of course if it already exists, you can update it, otherwise you still have to create it. If it hasn't been created, well then I'm going to create a new secondary tile. I pass it a couple of parameters. If I have several cities pinned for my weather application to my start screen, when I click on it, I want to open the correct city in more detail. So those are passed in those arguments. And then I create the secondary tile by saying request create async that will update, or that will create my secondary tile. In the background, you're not removed from the context of the application. Now, as mentioned a couple of minutes ago, all those tile updates in Windows 8, they were actually created using something called tile templates. Now, Microsoft had, with the release of Windows 8, and also in Windows Phone, by the way, created a number of templates because they wanted to make tile updates easy, because they still think that a tile is a vital part of an application. It is not just a shortcut. It's an extension of your application. And so they wanted to make the creation of of tiles very easy. So what they did was they created a bunch of templates, more than 80, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was like 50 for Windows 8 and about 20 for Windows Phone. And then when they merged them all, there's like 80 tile templates that you could create. And if you look at those, these are a couple of sample tile templates. You can see that they're all quite similar. They allow us to create those typical Windows 8 updates with an image background, with a header, with some text, with a badge, and so on and so forth. And all these were driven by a piece of XML that you could ask to Windows. You update your values in there, and you send it to your tile, and that resulted in a tile update. This still works. If you have that in the current Windows 8 app, it still works. If you're creating a new Windows 10 app and you say, well, I don't need anything else, this seems reasonable for me, well, go ahead and use it. Like I said, the templates have been merged between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, so there's now about 80 templates, more or less, that you can use. So there's a rich amount of templates for your application needs. So you can still use them. Now, of course, Microsoft wanted to create something new for Windows 10. And so what they could have done was, well, they could have created more templates. But creating even more templates is probably not a good idea, because I think more or less everything that you could do with those templates had been done. So instead of creating new templates the way they did it in Windows 8, they created something new, and that's called adaptive templates. Now, adaptive seems to be the hype in today's sessions here. Everything now needs to be adaptive. The previous session was also about creating adaptive UIs, making sure that everything looks good on those different screens, different screen resolutions and different screen sizes. Well, the same goes for tiles. Microsoft has invested in something called adaptive templates. Now, what are adaptive templates? Let's take a look. It's again XML. That's the same thing. That concept has remained. However, they have now created a tile template which will scale along with the changing environment. If you have a lower resolution device or a higher resolution device, it's still going to be that same content which is shown on the tile, But depending on how much space you have, more or less content will be shown. So basically what they've done is they've created four new templates. That's it. Four adaptive templates that you can fill up the way you want to. And those four templates are called Tile Small, Tile Medium, Tile Wide, and Tile Large. And here you see some XML for the Tile Medium. And I'm going to show it in a bit more detail in the demos in just a second, but bear with me. So we are still going to create, if you know Windows 8 tiles, this should look very similar. You have still a tile, you still have a visual, then you have a binding. And now we have the tile template. The tile template's name is Tile Medium. So this is going to be the tile template for that square medium tile. And from then on, and this is new, this is, let's say, a breaking change compared to Windows 8, from then on we can create our own XML to fill up the tile. We were limited to tile templates, now we have ultimate freedom in our tile. It's XML, it is not XAML, by the way. Microsoft has said that XAML is coming, but it is now, at this point, a lightweight form of XML. And inside of it, we have a couple of elements that we can add, like group, subgroup. And inside of there, I'm going to place some text blocks. Now, the group is basically a row, because the tile is always going to be a square or a rectangle. It is actually going to be used as some form of a table. So they're going to create, or we are going to create groups, and inside of it we're going to create subgroups. And subgroups are columns. So in this case, I'm going to create a group within there, so a one row with one column, and in there a couple of text blocks. And those text blocks are going to be stacked below each other. And that's what you see here. Now, there's a difference between what is shown in those different tiles here. And that's where the adaptive thing starts shining. The more space I have on my tile, the more content will be shown. So basically, we say to Windows, well, this is all the content that I want you to show. Try to show as much as possible. So in those two lower-end devices, that second group here won't be shown. But as soon as I have more space, well, that same tile is going to look a bit different. It's going to show this second row as well. And that's an adaptive template. Let's take a look at some more styles in here. So we can also apply some attributes on the XML. For example, hint style is, the word says it, it's a style hint. We are going to ask Windows to try to create a particular style. Again, adaptive, it's going to do a best effort to create the tile the way you want it to create. And those things I've already explained. Now, we can also do more exotic things with our tiles. For example, in this case here, notice there's no group and no subgroup. If you leave the group subgroup thing out, it's just going to be one row and one column. So basically a grid with one row and one column. In here, I'm placing an image, and the placement is set to background. So that's why we are having a tile template there, which has an image in the background. And then I place some text in there with a hint wrap through. I'm going to ask Windows, try to wrap my text as much as possible so it fits into my tile. And again, as you see, the tile scales along nicely. The small tile template, so template tile small, can only be used for batch updates. You can't put any other content in there. So that's basically a limitation. That's a tile small. The tile medium, that's this one, in there we can place text, we can place the application name, and we can also place a batch in there. In this case, I have two text blocks, again, stacked below each other. The first one gets a header style, so a caption style, that's bold. And then the other one is, oops, a bit too fast, was hint styled caption subtle, that's subtle text style, which is being used there. The tile wide, that's this one. And notice here we now have a group, so one row with two subgroups. So basically we now have two columns, and that's what you see being reflected there. There's two image. There's an image on the left here and a text on the right. And the weight for this first one here is 33. So this one is taking up 33%. And there's another one, hint max line, so it's going to wrap the text over three lines. And the tile large is used only for desktop devices. It doesn't work on the Windows mobile device. And in here, we're using a group, this one, again, with two columns in there. And then I use below here, I used, again, a default group, a default subgroup, and I put my image in line, and that's going to result in this image being shown below that first group. Okay, let's take a look at this in a demo. So I hope you, no, you're not seeing anything. Mm-hmm. There we go. Let's duplicate. Hopefully that works. There we go. So I'm gonna run an application here, which you can actually also download from the SDK samples, but it contains basically everything that you can more or less do with tiles. So it's a very interesting sample if you want to include tiles or toasts inside of your application. It's pretty small, but let's enlarge it a little bit. There we go. So let's go to live tiles and then tile notifications. And then we're going to use some updates. I'm going to do some updates. It's not really useful that you see what I'm doing here. Not that I don't want you to show what I'm doing. Again, this sample contains many ways of updating the tile and showing toasts, which we'll do in just a second. So what this application is going to do first, I'm going to click on this text tiles thing here. And this is going to create a lot of secondary tiles for my application. I'm going to click here first. And I'm going to go to my start menu. And notice that it has just pinned many styles here, as you can see. And they all start updating. So this created a bunch of secondary tiles. So this is basically a test to see all those text styles being used. I'm not sure if I can zoom in on it. Let's try. I should be able. There we go. So notice that so this one is using, for example, the body style. This one is using the header style, subheader style. I've sent those as secondary tiles to my start screen, and they're now all there. Let's take a look at how this was done. Let's go to Visual Studio, this one, and I think it is going to be the one which is below here. Okay. So this was the code that was executed. So I've called a method called pinTile several times, passing in the style I want to use. Below the scene, behind the scenes, it actually created a secondary tile. Do I have some time? I'm going to skip the creation of the secondary tile. That's a code I already showed you in the slides. And then the most important thing is this thing here. I'm building up XML. So I'm building up one tile update within there several tile templates and how they should be handled. In this case, there's a template for the, or there's a binding for the tile small, tile medium, tile wide, and tile large. And all of them just get one text update in there with the style which was passed as an argument for the method. So the method was called, pin tile, it was called several times, passing in the style of text that I want to show on my tile. And this resulted in many tile updates. Now, of course, we're not limited to just text on our tiles. We can also, for example, include images. Let's pin a secondary tile. And this one is the one you should be looking at now. There you go. You see that this one now has a check mark in there. The check mark is actually XML. It's a PNG which was added by XML, again using that tile template. So let's take a look at Visual Studio again. So that should be, not this, I think it's this one. Oops. Should be searching for the correct one. Quite difficult when you have on a low. Yeah, this one. That's the one. So again, we're creating a secondary tile over here. Secondary tile has been created. I'm going to send XML to that secondary tile. So I'm going to create a payload for that secondary tile. And now in this case, again, passing in the four tile templates. But now I'm including an image. As you can see here, image. I pass the source, which was that check mark, that check PNG, as an argument for my for my tile template, and it's now showing automatically that image inside of my tile. Let's do one more. The hint presentation is another interesting one. So hint presentation, what this is going to send, let me zoom in on that a little bit. So this is the XML that's going to be sent to my tile now. And you also have to build it up, of course. But notice that for each of the template binding, there is now a hint presentation. And that's set to photos. There's a couple of parameters that you can use there. Photos actually, well, flips through the images that are passed. So we have a pass it like 10 images. It's going to rotate, it's going to flip through the images that are passed. So let's do that. Let's create that tile. There you go. And if we now see here at the bottom, there we go. Notice that it starts rotating. It showed the first image, and now it switches between the different images that I've passed it. And that's because I used that hint, template photos. If you use another one like context, it uses a bit of a different layout to show the tiles in that particular case. All right. So we've now seen how we can do tile updates. Let's now change or move our attention to the second part, and that is toast updates. Now, the problem with tile updates is, in fact, So the problem with with tile updates is that the user can, of course, miss an update because those are pinned to the start menu or the start screen. If you're not looking at the start screen at that particular time, you don't see the tile update. If you only use it to notify a user that an incoming call is happening on a tile, well, chances are that user is going to miss it quite often. So you need a way of being more interruptive to the user. You have to get his attention. And for that, toasts are often being used. Now, toast updates are the little blocks that will be shown wherever, whatever you're doing, if you're in another app, if you're in your desktop, doesn't matter. They will always be popping up. In Windows 8, they were shown at the top of your screen. In Windows 10, they're shown at the bottom of your screen by default. They have several goals. You can ask the user to give some information, a fire and forget, basically. You show some info, glanceable information. This has happened, boom, nothing happens with it. Now, a toast, however, can be used for much more than just showing something. You can actually also use a toast to trigger some interaction with the user. And what you can do with a toast is you can actually tap on just any toast and configure it so that the application opens and perhaps does something. I'm going to show you that in just a second. And what you can also do, and that's a new thing in Windows 10, is we can add actions here. We can add buttons. We can add an input field. We can add a selection box. Those things are actions, and we can actually add those and react to what the user has selected inside of the toast update inside of our application. So those are the new things in Windows 10. Now, again, coming from Windows 8, toasts in Windows 8 were glance only. You could chase them, you could click on them and open your application, but that was about it. Now, if you were building toast updates in Windows 8, they were actually just they were also built using those templates. You could also include them using templates. Again, those Windows 8 templates still work. They still work in Windows 10 application. And there is also now, and that's the new thing, of course, an adaptive template. Just more or less the same syntax as we had with our tile templates, but now focused on toasts. Okay, so how can we send the toast update? There's, again, a couple of ways of sending a toast update. This hasn't changed from Windows 8, by the way. You could create a local toast update or local toast while the application is running, or from a background task, you could trigger the display of a toast. That was possible. You could also create, again, scheduled toast updates, scheduled toast notifications. From the application, you schedule all the birthdays that you want to notify the user about. You push them from your application, and they are scheduled. That's a scheduled toast notification. And also, including push notifications also works. Again, toast notifications can be triggered from the cloud. We're not going to go in there. That's a bit too far for this session. Again, a toast update, like I said, is also XML. It's the same concept, also using templates. So you could also create write code like this. You ask Windows for the template, the XML of the particular toast template that you want. You set some parameters in there, or set some values in there, I should say, and then you pass or you target, you push your toast notification to the user by showing the toast notification manager asking it to show your toast. That's how a toast update from your application was created. Now, that's the old thing. Like I said, you could also activate your application from a toast. it also works. You tap on the toast, and the application gets activated. It doesn't get launched, it actually gets activated. And from the activation part, you can actually see what happened. And you will actually get in that the activation kind of the application was launched, and you will also perhaps get in some parameters parameters if you had created toast on the toast. Let's all go there. Now, the new thing in Windows 10 is interactive toasts, and they work together with that adaptive template that I've just talked about. So again, the new thing is the interaction that we can do with toasts. These are a couple of screenshots of Windows 10 toasts which are being shown. And notice that the screenshots at the top are the desktop versions. The ones at the bottom are of the mobile versions, so the Windows 10 mobile versions. And they are similar. So you can actually create one toast. And if it's the mobile which is accepting them, it will handle the toast in the same way as your Windows 10 desktop machine. So this one is a simple one, no interaction. This one has, if you can see it, this one has a text box and a button, and this one has two buttons. So the user is now capable of interacting directly with the user. A Facebook app can show an update of a particular friend, and you can directly like that update from a toast by including a like button and then handling that button click from within your application. So like I said, it's one adaptive template. There's now, compared to TAS, it's a bit different. TAS had different templates for different resolutions. Toast, there's just one template, and that template is called Toast Generic. So it handles basically all Toast updates. In there, same syntax, groups, subgroups, you can include all of those there. What I'm doing here is I'm putting in an image. That's this image there. It's the app logo override. It's going to replace the logo, which is shown by default. A text block, this one. Another text block, this one. Then an image, which is placed inline, and another text block. So you can show rich content inside of your Toast update. Now it gets more it gets more interesting when you can allow the user to interact with your toast. What you see here is that inside of the toast, so this is the code that we have first, and below that we have this actions block. And this actions block, well, that's the block where the interactivity is being added to your toast. In here, you can create an input. For example, this one is going to be this dropdown here. The type is selections that triggers the creation of a dropdown. And in there, you're going to add a couple of selections. They get an ID. So basically, why is that ID there? Because from your application, of course, when you handle that the user has clicked on this, you need to know what the user has selected. So that ID you're getting in. Now, this is that selection thing here. Down here, I still have two buttons that I have to add. And that's this part. I have two actions. Each button becomes an action. And that button here has an important parameter called activation type. Now, activation type is set to system. System means that the system knows what to do with this. I don't have to write any code for this. The argument for this one is snooze. The argument for the second one is dismiss. Those are predefined arguments that the system will know what to do with it. And so it will automatically snooze or dismiss my toast and show it again later on. You can also customize things a little bit here. For example, we have the activation type set to background, and we are using an image URI in here. That's this one. There we go. So that image URI is overriding how a button should be displayed. It's a PNG, which I'm using in this case. And you can see there's many more things that you can include. Now, what can you do, let's say, with a toast interaction or a toast action? There's actually four scenarios that you can do with your toast. If the activation type is set to foreground, when the user does something with the toast, automatically your app that the toast is coming from is going to be put in the foreground. It's going to become the running application. If the activation type is background, then there's a background task which is going to handle the fact that the user has clicked on a button in your toast. A background service can handle it. For example, like I said, a Facebook update. You click on like, a background service is running for your application that will say to Facebook, well, update that status to liked. Handles it all in the background. You could also set the activation type to protocol. This will actually launch another application that has registered the protocol. And then system, entirely handled by the system. So the system will know what to do with it. Of course, you have to use the correct arguments for that. The last thing that I want to show you here, there's a couple of, let's say, predefined toast look and feels, let's say. For example, the alarm is one that automatically includes snooze and dismiss. The reminder is automatic, is also one that includes snooze and dismiss, but also has that snooze thing here. And then the incoming call has this layout, and automatically you can, of course, add content to that as well. So this is the one here, the scenario alarm. Let's finish up by taking a look at the last demo. Okay, so let's take a look at those interactive tasks. I'm going to use the same demo because also in there, like I said, everything is in there, including toast updates. So I'm going to go to toast here. You're not seeing anything, of course. You can say that. I'm not going to shoot you if you say that. There we go. So you have to look at the bottom right of the screen because I can't show it somewhere else. So I'm going to click on this one, and I'm going to show a toast update, which is not appearing right now. That's weird. That's probably because I switched from two screens to one screen. Yeah. Oops. Yeah, but it is showing, but for some reason it should actually pop up. Yeah? Let's restart the application for once. Maybe it's because I switched screens. This would be a pity because I can't show anything if that doesn't work. Let's try another one for now. See this one. That's actually showing here, I think. It's because the resolution is too low?
So.
Yeah, it could be. That's a pity because now I can't show my toast updates. What's the resolution here? Let's do a risky thing and let's change the resolution while I'm presenting. So. See if that maybe might work. Keep changes. That's actually also showing again here. Maybe if I clear things. No. So this is actually my toast being shown here. I can't show you how it actually looks, so that's a bit of a pity. So let's finish by taking a look at one of those toast updates. My apologies that it doesn't work, but probably has something to do with the screen resolution. So like I said, so the creation of a toast is also just plain XML. In this case, we are creating a toast which is going to be handled by the foreground application being open. So the toast is going to, when I click it, is going to result in the application being launched in the foreground. I pass in some arguments. And then, like I said, it's always going to be that toast generic template that we're going to use. In this case, I add two text blocks inside of it. That's what it says here. And then at the bottom, I create my inputs. My actions. And the first one is an input that's going to be resulting in a text box being created. And then I create two actions, which are going to result in the application being launched in the foreground with an argument being passed and also what needs to be shown on the button. So again, my apologies that this for some reason did not work. I'm going to make it up to you by calling Jan on screen, but that's not the only surprise. Maybe Jan has to say something, and that's going to make up the fact that this demo did not work. Do you have a microphone? Okay. So before Jan takes over, thanks for listening. And we're not going to be doing a lab on tasks, but there's an interesting lab that also shows you how to create those tasks inside of the application that you're creating. I'm going to be on stage again for the last session. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a good lunch. Thanks.
Thank you, Jill.